you smell what Barack has cooked?
I'm here to challenge you to a match.
When it comes to standing up for the American people, I am ready to rumble.
I think that we may need a wrestler in the White House.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Great American Bash. My name is Brandon Weatherby in Washington, D.C.
And my name is Chris Kelly from Florida.
No, Chris. Where? Not just Florida.
The home of WrestleMania Sunspot, Florida.
Is this the home of WrestleMania Batista's tattoo around his belly button?
Yeah, the tramp stamp he has on the front. Yes, that's the exact symbol. We're getting a Batista run-in to promote Guardians of the Galaxy 2. Book it.
Ooh, that's good. Why didn't we bring that up before? Yeah. Anyways, it is Wednesday, March 15th, the Ides of March, day 54 of WWE Hall of Famer Donald Trump's first run at the presidency. It is currently 9:47 p.m., which means by the end of this episode, big news will have happened, and we won't have talked about it. But that's perfectly fine. We haven't done this in a while. The last time we did this was before the joint address to Congress, and the last time we did this was before Chris wrote a fantastic article for the Washington City paper entitled Mat Men.
Thank you, Brandon. Yes, Mat Men, a feature about Nova Pro Wrestling, which I've talked about on the podcast before, an indie promotion based in Northern Virginia. They just did an event last Friday, and they got one coming up in April. I wrote a thing about indie wrestling for a free newspaper, and there were people on the internet that were upset that I was condescending to the thing that they like, and I dared to bring it to a wider audience. Mind you, I've gone to about six of their events and have bought merchandise there and eaten the food at these events, but I was being condescending. So shout out to other podcasters who are definitely not listening to our podcast.
Hold on. Did you really get flack from this? I thought you got legit good, like, reaction.
Oh, no, I got legit good reactions from people that mattered. And then I got subtweeted to the point where someone had to go, hey, you should check out what this person is writing on Twitter about you. So I checked it out. And I was like, you know, I'm not, if you want to, come at me, bro or madam. But they didn't. So it's just like, you know, it was just a fun thing. It was a fun thing that happened when you write about wrestling. Wrestling fans exist. That's the fun thing.
So what I liked about it is you were able to get in some pretty funny lines. Like, one of my favorite was you mentioned that the last essentially season of Nova Pro ended at the JCC in a cage fight, optics be damned. And, that was funny, but yeah. The exact same paragraph, you're able to say, like, these guys built this from nothing. They're just fans, and it's a family that wanted to bring what they love to the masses, and if anything, you're trying to spread the most amount of flyers possible. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I mean, we could publish this the Thursday, the day before their show. So, yeah, and also, you know, I was happy with how it turned out, too. That's what was funny about getting any flack at all, because, you know, doing it, you find, you know, you go, oh, I want to do a story about this, and then you find a narrative, and yeah, it's two guys, father and son, that used to make weekends, they used to make shows on the road 50 weekends a year, and decided to do this, and then Sanjay Dutt, one of the guys in it, you know, he's bringing his kids to the event, thinks his son, and joked that his son might follow him in the rain. His son is 12 weeks old. You know, all the people involved, it was this, like, father and son bonding through wrestling thing that I did not think would be the story. And fathers and sons, as we've talked about, a frequent topic in WWE and also in the presidency. So it's all connected, guys.
Before we move on to the big show of the week, do you think that we didn't become wrestlers because our dads didn't run a wrestling promotion / our dad wasn't entitled Fred Kloss? Oh, for the listener at home, Chris, you could tell everyone this. What's Donald Trump's dad's name?
Frederick Christ Trump.
Yeah, so his dad is Santa Christ. So, anyways.
Santa Christ.
Sorry. We should move on to the big show of the week.
And you thought you had dad issues. I mean, his father's Santa and Claus and Christ. So, yeah, it's a lot. We should move on to the big show of the week.
The big show of the week. It's the Affordable Care Act versus not Trump care.
This is the thing that happened this week. We have a couple ideas of what this compares to wrestling as. I'll do mine because it's the least sophisticated. The WWE lost Kevin Nash and Scott Hall. They two-sweeted their way over to WCW. And they had a big thing where good old JR went heel by bringing out their characters, Diesel and Razor Ramon, played by other wrestlers. And the fans hated it because they were cheap copies of a thing they liked. And it didn't go anywhere. Fake Diesel eventually became Kane, and fake Razor Ramon died. Not because of being in this angle, but he died because he was a wrestler. So okay. That happened.
Maybe this is why people were upset with you on Twitter. I was going to go with a less kayfabe angle. So you went to a storyline angle, and I'm going to go to an angle of just internet rumors. About a year ago, last summer, TNA was rumored to be bought or soon to be bought by Vince McMahon. That did not happen. To me, this is essentially Trump and Ryan being the internet saying, hey, the Republicans and everybody else, we're going to buy the ACHA. And everyone else is like, no, you're not. We don't need this tape catalog. We're the WWE. And that's what we're at right now.
Yeah, I like that one, too. We got the kayfabe and got the work of the shoot, as we always do here on the Great American Bash. So, do you have any points about the actual what is actually happening? You are in the home of the Trump Hotel. You're right there at the epicenter.
I am. I don't want to get into the specifics of the bill because I do not think it matters. I do think that all of the public pressure at these town hall meetings does matter. I think that all of these rallies matter. For example, WWE Hall of Famer Donald Trump is in the state of Rand Paul. Rand Paul's people like Obamacare. It's actually turned out pretty okay for them. So it's not really working out. I don't see it moving forward, so I don't want to spend too much time with it. The only thing that really matters is the CBO plan, which came out earlier this week. Oh my God, it's only Wednesday. Jesus Christ. It came out earlier this week. It makes it easier for senators especially to say, we're not going to vote on this. This is stupid. This is not going to happen. And that makes it easier for some House members to back off and slow down too. So there's really no wrestling analog, just like it's not going to happen as is. Moving on to alternative facts are still real to me.
Alternative facts are
still real to me, damn it!
Quotations or not, no wires were trapped at Trump Tower. I don't think that we have talked about this yet. During Saturday's main event, Donald Trump went off the rails, so he said that his wires were tapped, and he put the quotes around wires tapped for unknown reasons. A few days later, Sean Spicer says, well, he put them in quotes, that means maybe somebody was bugging someone, blah, blah, blah. Today, it came out that Jeff Sessions did not tell Trump that his tower was tapped. But Sessions did talk to Russians two times during the election cycle, which brings us to this amazing Corey Graves quote.
No, Byron, if I was looking for a conspiracy, I'd talk about how my microwave was listening on my conversations. The fact is the fact.
So,
do we have the Kellyanne Conway? Was that audio or just text?
So that was audio. She was on CNN explaining that she's not Inspector Gadget.
Chris, I'm not Inspector Gadget. I don't believe people are using the microwave to spy on the Trump campaign. However, I'm not in the job of having evidence. That's what investigations are for.
This isn't important at all.
No.
I know I shouldn't be joking around saying a president's advisor thinks that people could record people through microwaves, and I shouldn't joke around saying that the attorney general doesn't matter. But at the end of the day, none of this matters. What really matters is Corey Graves got in a joke about Trump and Kellyanne Conway in the third hour of Monday Night Raw.
That's right in our sweet spot there. On a side note, does it bother you that Kellyanne Conway not only thinks microwaves can refilm you, but that Inspector Gadget was an inspector of gadgets? She doesn't really seem to get the premise of the show. Corey Graves doing good work with the field commentary on Raw, and getting things under the kind of past the the censor, as it were, in the sick man. We'll get to something a little bit, something that went above the radar, I guess, on the radar, and went a little more explicitly. But yeah, this whole thing with the wiretapping, it is kind of crazy that he's just still, it's not crazy that he's doing exactly what he's done the whole time and had no repercussions. But it's fun to see what happens, but nothing will happen from this. There, as we keep seeing, a lot of this stuff is distractions. Much like also, was this this morning, yesterday, where Trump went after a fellow WWE Hall of Famer?
That was this morning, but really quick, Monday Night Raw was fine. I don't really care about Monday Night Raw. The thing that I do care about on Monday night is Monday afternoon cabinet meetings. I don't know if you saw this. The first official cabinet meeting with Linda McMahon was there. And the fact that
I did see that.
Linda McMahon wasn't brought up is like, why is that lady there that she's the one of the most qualified people to be in the cabinet? That didn't even come up.
Yeah, we're the only ones who care about it. It's a real shame because we have a wrestling promoter and in the cabinet. And, you know, I just don't think it gets enough, it doesn't get enough coverage, but there's so much to cover as we see here every week or two when we do this.
So, yeah,
it's tough to keep up with.
I apologize for taking us off the rails, but it's important because Linda does a lot of important things. Without Linda McMahon, we don't have the Warrior Award. And the Warrior Award was announced this week. It's going to go to a football player that was paralyzed. You might have seen that on Monday Night Raw. You might have seen that on SmackDown Live. You might have watched that on the 90-minute Hulu edition of Raw. You might have watched that on the Hulu edition of SmackDown. Well, I was watching the Hulu edition of SmackDown. That's when Donald Trump tweeted out against WWE Hall of Famer Snoop Dogg that, don't shoot me. Don't shoot me in the head in a music video. If this was done
and if
during...
you had done this to Obama, you would have been in jail. By the way, he did that to a person and didn't go to jail.
He literally got away with murder.
He literally murdered someone.
He literally...
I don't know if you guys know that song, but it turns out murder was the case that they gave him. and he's still out here hanging out with Martha Stewart, who is not in the WWE Hall of Fame.
But did serve
there's
time.
Other celebrities.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
20 years ago, yeah. Who's going to serve time? Donald Trump, Snoop Dogg, or Martha Stewart? Where do you put that money?
20 years ago?
20 years ago.
97?
97. Snoop Dogg's on Masterpiece No Limit Soldier label. He was.
Martha Stewart is, this is, yeah, I know. Martha Stewart, this is pre-insider trading.
Yes.
This is Donald in the wilderness.
He's fucking around on Marlo, but he's not, but his wife hasn't come to America yet.
When I searched, by the way, when I sidetracked again, when I searched Martha Stewart WWE, I got some fake thing about Donald Trump challenges Martha Stewart on WWE SmackDown from February 2006, so I really want to know what the fuck this is. But we can continue, and I will update some other time in the podcast. You know, when they were doing all this stuff on SmackDown, I might have missed it, as some people were, like me, flipping between two channels. I was flipping between a pretty lackluster episode of SmackDown Live, the A Show, and Rachel Maddow on MSNBC, because she said right before the 9 o'clock hour, so they had Trump's taxes. Tune in to Rachel Maddow's show. Do you ever watch Rachel Maddow's show?
I used to, like maybe 8 years ago.
Okay, so that's a long time that she did on the show. Is a 20-minute preamble like kind of de rigueur? Because that's what she did last night.
I mean, I've been
kind of explaining what taxes were.
It's been 8 years, so I don't know, but I understand your point. I think you're going with this. But I don't think it was the wrong thing to do.
Oh, the preamble part?
The preamble part, because you have everyone's attention until you actually show the tax forms. Unlike, say, SmackDown Live, where you smash Shane McMahon's head through some glass and then you re-show it 10 times over the next 20 minutes. I'd rather you not do anything and then smash his head through glass. Maybe explain how that would be harmful to people.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's not through the preamble. So anyway, Rachel Maddow, for everyone who missed this, because this will definitely get lost in eventually, probably already, since it wasn't a really big breakthrough. She had two pages of 2005 1040 that showed he paid about $35 million off $150 million in taxes. If you've done your taxes, you know, the first couple pages of the 1040, kind of the summary. So there's nothing, no details, and there was definitely nothing incriminating here other than he paid, you know, 25% into the 30 or something that doesn't really play in Peoria, as they say. Yeah, it was kind of like, just here, we got these taxes, we're going to talk about it, but once again, we still don't know what's in his taxes. And it still didn't change the outcome of the election when Donald Trump didn't release his taxes. So it didn't retroactively do it either. Once again, we're split on what this meant. What do you think the Maddow buildup was?
I think it was good for two reasons and way more reasons it was bad. The two good reasons, if you're on the Maddow side, was it proved that people care about this because both the MSNBC site at one point crashed and the man who gave her the documents, his site crashed. So that showed interest. Right?
True.
And then the second part is the rumor or the theory that Trump himself leaked them.
Yes, I agree with that. That theory is the true thing,
and that's a fun, interesting angle. and that's why I think those are the positives. So it's fun to think that Trump is the one leaking these, especially because on the second page it says client copy.
Oh, I didn't even know that there was more proof.
Yeah. So in addition to the man saying,
clear that he did it.
Yeah, Trump clearly leaks these things. That's what he does. If anyone's wondering about this, just call John Barron. He'll verify everything. So the negatives was everything else, and that's a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, it's also in the argument that he leaked it himself, it proves the rich guy paid a big number in taxes, more than most people will generally pay in their life in taxes. And it shows that there's nothing, you know, the media is going to, you know, quote in air quotes, illegally go after his taxes. Once again, shows that people didn't care about it in the first place. And it's a nice little distraction from whatever other stuff he was doing during that day. So, yeah, I don't think Maddow and her team look great in kind of taking John Barron's bait here.
Listen, John Barron is a brilliant publicist, and I would always question taking his bait. That being said, if you're Rachel Maddow and her team, do you sit on this? Or do you believe Dixie Carter that she's going to save TNA? You know, she's got the best of intentions here.
I think you wait until you actually have something. This is a non-story. Kind of reminded me of the one that was getting compared to a lot, which it's a circuitous route. It does have a wrestling connection. Geraldo Rivera searching at Al Capone's vault, live TV. They opened up nothing in the vault. Rivera also investigating wrestling in the 80s, infamously asked David Schultz, kind of got in his face in a very, I think I mixed up my guys, so this isn't a wrestling connection, but I want to talk about it anyway. I think that's John Stossel.
John Stossel's the one that got hit, and also Richard Belzer,
the comedian got choked out by Hogan.
Yeah.
John Stossel, not Rivera. We do real-time fact-checking. John Stossel, in a very smarmy way, asked David Schultz if wrestling was fake. David Schultz smacked him around and asked him if that was fake. It wasn't. Since wrestling is not fake, guys. It's just predetermined.
You could also just do the Geraldo Rivera's show made chair shots more famous than the WWE.
I know that.
Geraldo's show was like the first to have fights. There was a... Yeah, without Geraldo, you don't get Jerry Springer.
Oh, yeah. Okay. There you go.
See, that's where you
were. Well, I was quite circuitous, especially since I got my shitty newscasters mixed up.
What I initially thought of was the mid-season XFL halftime show. This is when Vince McMahon was going to save the XFL, and he was going to have a halftime show that was essentially a fantasy sequence, and they were going to go in the XFL cheerleaders locker room, and then they woke up and it was all a dream, and everyone was very mad.
Just bizarre stuff. Yeah, that XFL documentary did have some interesting stuff, even though it was a fluff piece from a son to a father.
Can we talk about the most important politics and wrestling thing that's happened in the last 2 weeks?
Do you mean on the best show that WWE makes called Talk Things Next?
That is correct. The actual A show.
Yes. The post show for a fake show on the WWE Network, Daniel Bryan, when he's not talking about James Ellsworth Hogg, which, did you watch all Soggy Smack?
It wasn't the best episode yet, but it was one of my favorites.
Good. In the fact that he wants James Ellsworth to come out of WrestleMania with Bayley's inflatable arm men, but they're penises.
And he wants him to have flesh-colored tights, and it worked for Giant Gonzalez.
Yeah. These are all things... Okay, I'm pretty sure instead of a like concussion test, they should just ask, like, what do you think of James Ellsworth coming out in flesh-colored tights? And you say, good idea. You're too concussed to wrestle. Daniel Bryan. Which, by the way, 2 weeks ago, he did... in this, we're going to get to this feud he's having that he can't wrestle against The Miz, but he's in a feud with him. The Miz was like, oh, I know we can't wrestle because of your brain. And Daniel Bryan goes, oh, I can't wrestle? Ask me in a year and a half. That would be when his real-life contract is up. I'm going to go wrestle somewhere else.
This is the best.
But until then, we have amazing things that are happening when Jill Stein voter Daniel Bryan has a live microphone, and he says things like this.
The thing about Miz... is he's very hateable, right?
Very. He's got a hateable face.
And a very hateable attitude. And just the way that he is, and like we can see it in Talking Smack and all that kind of stuff, where he will cut you off. Like, it's the Donald Trump style of arguing, where you're
louder.
Yeah, if you're just louder, you'll win, right? You're not responding to, oh, climate change is just a hoax by the Chinese, right?
No,
it's not real.
No.
And like, and so all that, you know, all that kind of theory as far as, okay, this is how I win arguments, by just cutting people off and being louder than them, right? That ever since I've come here, he's been like that, and that's gotten under my skin. Another thing that really gets under my skin a little bit is when people start, it seems to me, blaming other people for their lack of success.
So that's our first explicit Trump reference, and first negative Trump reference, I think, since he's run for president and been president. So Daniel Bryan just doing whatever the hell he wants on Talking Smack. If you have the WWE Network or access to it, you should be watching this show, even though it's on at fucking 11 o'clock now because of 205 Live. But a lot of fun. I'm just excited to see what Daniel Bryan does next. He's already gotten AJ Styles in trouble by outing AJ Styles as a flat earth sympathizer.
I forgot about
AJ,
that.
AJ in an interview this week kind of said, I'm not a flat earther and I could kill Daniel Bryan for doing that. But they raised some good points. And NASA is an international business. You got to be careful for those international businessmen. So somebody's been spending a little too much time on Breitbart. But, Talking Smack is great. Daniel Bryan comparing The Miz to Trump is great. And I wish they would embrace that angle. So not the only people making Trump references, explicit Trump references in wrestling in the last couple of weeks. I think before we, in about a week ago at, the tapings for, what was formerly known as TNA, which is now just straight up Impact.
Why did it take that long to figure out that that's a much better title?
See also the history of TNA. So the TNA is basically Dixie Carter, who you referenced before, who we've talked about before. Billy Corgan is gone, long gone. Dixie Carter is now out. The company formerly known as TNA, FKA TNA, is being run by Jeff Jarrett and Dutch Mantel, a.k.a. Zeb Coulter. A bunch of old, Jeff Jarrett and his running buddies from the 90s. And they're running an angle where it's like two factions of bookers against each other, and one of them wants to make Impact great again.
Should we play the clip of Dutch Mantel explaining how Trump got his gimmick?
Yeah, let's go for it.
You mentioned Donald Trump, and again.
Oh, yeah, let me tell you.
There you go.
Donald did. At WrestleMania 29, I went out and I did the promo, and I was doing this, and this We the People, and he was there. You know, please rise, put your hand on your heart, We the People. So he was in the box. So later on, I went back sitting in the viewing area, and he walked up to me. He walked in. I saw him walk in. Walked in with his two sons and Ivanka, his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful, beautiful girl. And then he saw me, and he came over. And he put his hand out like this, and he said, fantastic, fantastic. I loved your interview. and then he walked away. But what he did, he watched it, and he basically took We the People and is using it today. And I'm not, he just stole the gimmick. The gimmick infringement. Big case.
So that came out when Zeb, or Dutch, whatever you want to call him, was still with the WWE in 2016 at one of those sad, no offense, in a basement, poorly lit wrestling shows. And
which I did not cover for the Washington City paper. The Nova Pro is not, it is well lit, and it is not in basement. Just want to make that clear.
Nova Pro's lighting could be improved. Come on.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, the Make Impact Great Again thing is happening right after they let the Hardys, Drew Galloway, Mike Bennett, and his real-life wife, Maria Kanellis, who you might remember from Celebrity Apprentice, and Jade, who performed at Nova Pro, they let them all walk and put a bunch of guys from the 80s and 90s in control to make them Impact Great Again. So, yeah, that's pretty much the Trump thing right there.
Okay, so
good job, guys.
Let's close with our new segment, Swerved.
You get swerved.
Since we last recorded, Trump gave his first joint address to Congress, and it was well received across the aisle. People like Van Jones said it was pretty great. He's a real president. A lot of people said that's when he became president. The thing that was most notable to me was that he honored Navy SEAL Ryan Owens, and specifically Ryan's mom. Now, Ryan Owens is the soldier that died in the first Trump-sanctioned raid. Is that fair? Are those the right terms?
I believe that's accurate.
Okay. So Dad said, don't use my son as a pawn. And his wife said, my husband's dead. So she shows up, and people were so happy that she's showed up. Everyone applauded, and they kept applauding. And then WWE Hall of Famer Donald Trump said that Navy SEAL Ryan Owens is looking down from heaven and happy for the amount of applause. And I think he just set a record.
I don't know much about heaven, guys, but I really hope that's what it's like. It's just guys going, hey, check out these guys applauding. Yeah.
So the wrestler guy was like, hey, I know this is a fake record, but this is our fake record. And everyone said, he's a president. And Chris and I said, he's in the WWE Hall of Fame. But you can't say that when a widow is crying. So we had to wait a few days. And you know what else waited a few days? The travel ban. Because the speech was so well received, he's like, let's hold off on that travel ban. And then it's like, their speech wasn't well received. Fuck this guy. Fuck Jeff Sessions. I got to say bad things about Obama. We're doing another travel ban. And then tonight, right before we recorded, the second travel ban was struck down.
Just swerves left and right. Also in that speech earlier in the day, they had the media had been told that he was going to, do certain things on immigration, maybe walk back his immigration plan a little bit. Nope, he did the exact same thing he did during the campaign, and then had another hardline. Reinforced his hardline position and said he wanted to create a victims of immigration crime engagement voice.
This was during, this was during the speech, and then people in the audience groaned.
So it's literally the exact same thing he did. If you remember during the campaign, when he went to Mexico, they said, oh, he's going to have a saucer position. Came back from Mexico. Nope, same position.
That was the same.
You should watch.
That was in the same day. This was in the same day. Wake up, sheeple. And once again, by sheeple, I mean Bray Wyatt's Fireflies. Because guess what? AJ's not facing him at WrestleMania. You knew it was going to be Orton. You knew it was going to be Orton all along. He's a snake.
Yeah, he's a fucking snake, okay? This is a good swerve, but then we can keep doing this segment about times Trump says that people say that Trump's going to do one thing and then he continues to do the same thing he's been doing. I think that's going to be a pretty good gimmick for the next 4 to 12 years.
12.
Or whatever we're looking at. And that's words, which is not coming back to the WWE Network, unfortunately, but we do have Donald Trump. So that'll be providing our swerves.
Do you want to
check something I came across earlier?
Go ahead.
So, Donald Trump in 2006, when he was... So, Martha Stewart was the host of Celebrity Apprentice at some point.
That is correct. She was host of Celebrity Apprentice. That's correct.
So he was... She was saying... She tried to blame him for bad ratings, and Donald Trump is not like that. He doesn't like bad ratings, but he does like applause in heaven. And so they were feuding. And so, unfortunately, this was a satire site of bfnews.org, but Trump challenges Stewart to face him on WWE SmackDown. Some pretty bad satire here, but I just want to make it clear this unfortunately did not happen. I don't think Martha Stewart has a WWE connection. But it's not too late because the WrestleMania season. We're on the road to WrestleMania, and you don't know who could be there.
Okay, so we only have a few more weeks to go before WrestleMania. We need to check in on the predictions. You're still saying no Trump. I'm saying yes Trump. That's how they bring back Hogan. They bring him back together. You're going to go pre-tape?
I'm going pre-tape. And yeah, I'll take Hogan in the New Day segment.
Oh yeah. So okay, yeah. Hogan, New Day. I think you're definitely more likely to be correct, but I'm gonna go for the glory. I'm gonna go Trump, Hogan, and I think the Batista running is definitely the safest bet.
Dare to dream.